And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it is Friday. Woohoo! Friday, and it's a great day. And we've got some really cool things that are going to be happening today, as usual. You know, there's never anything boring when I got the radio airwaves, because it's, you know, let's face it. I mean, there's so much going on in the world right now. The current events today were, you know, we've all been kind of scared about this Ebola outbreak, and I'm curious if it's zoogenic, if it's something that can cross over to the animals too, dogs and cats and so on. But boy, it's scary, and we'll hope that they get this under control so we don't have to worry about that too, like everything else we've got to worry about. Another current event, something very, very troubling that turned out to be okay, and the dog is fine. There was, here in New York, there were reports of that somebody had thrown a dog out of the window of a moving car over the BQE and the Queens, I think it was there in Queens. And everybody said that, oh, the dog, we saw somebody throwing the dog out of the window. Well, fortunately, a woman came forward and she said the dog was definitely not thrown from a window of a moving car. She saw the dog running, and, you know, the dog must have gotten scared with all the crazy rush hour traffic, and the dog jumped over off this gigantic 40-foot overhang and landed, you know, had a punctured lung and some things like that, but the dog is fine. And his name is Wookie, and Wookie, we really wish you a very quick, speedy recovery. We're so glad that you're reunited with your owner. And, you know, it's definitely something that we're very excited that you're doing better. So congratulations, Wookie, and the chalk one up finally for humanity that somebody didn't do that, although that's done, I'm sure, on a daily basis around the country. At least this one was just a case of a dog who ran away. Next thing we're going to be talking about today is some health issues that happen, and they have to really be careful of in the summer. Now, we know, obviously, don't put your dog and leave your dog in a hot car with the windows down. Same thing, fathers, don't put your toddlers in a hot car and go to work and forget you have them in the back of your car. A word to the wise on that one. But there are other things, because now we're in mosquito season. The end of July, early August is when all the mosquitoes are out. And it's really important to put your dogs on heartworm preventative. Whatever kind you like. I mean, there were some, I used to use one particular one, but that it had not been out for a while. Now they have a new one to replace it, which seems to be doing a good job. But don't take for granted that, oh, my dog is an indoor dog. You have never gotten a mosquito bite inside. You've never seen a fly in your house. You've never seen a fruit fly. Mosquitoes can get inside, too. Now, granted, the chances are much less of you having a problem with a mosquito outbreak if you live in Midtown Manhattan in a large townhouse and the dog never goes out. But still, you know, bugs are all over the place. And unfortunately, some mosquitoes can carry heartworm, even in New Jersey, in New York, and the East Coast. And obviously, this show is heard all over the country. I mean, Georgia, Florida, even Texas. I mean, it's horrible. Anytime you have a lot of rain, and I once heard an old farmer who told me that the worse the winter, the worse the bugs, because they're able to hibernate underneath all the snow, which you would think would be completely opposite, but he seems to be right on that. So heartworm preventative, super, super important. And if your dog goes out and is prone to fleas and ticks, and I would say pretty much just about any kind of dog should be on some kind of preventative. Now, there are natural ones that contain garlic and some other natural things like marigolds and eucalyptus and cinnamon, which is a great one. And you can go online and you can look up all the different remedies, natural things that are out there. There are some natural and homeopathic different kinds of flea and tick repellents, as well as mosquito. But if you got to look in your area, you got to speak with your local veterinarian. He or she is the best one to know which vaccinations your dog should have, depending on the area you live in, and also what kind of flea, tick, and heartworm preventative you should have your dog on. Now, I have Rhodesian Ridgebacks, as you all know, and actually the Wyatt Stuffed Animal is on Facebook. If you wanted to Facebook friend me or Facebook friend or like Merlin's Kids or United K9 Professionals, or you can go on to the merlinskids.org website or unitedk9professionals.com website. You can order your stuffed Wyatt doll. Anyone who has a Rhodesian Ridgeback, anyone who knows someone who has a Rhodesian Ridgeback, this is actually the first and only Rhodesian Ridgeback stuffed toy available. Nobody knows what Ridgebacks are unless you have them, and then you see them all over the place. They're really great dogs, and this is actually made from Wyatt, and we'll be having little accessories that will be sold separately for the kids. They are going to love it. But we're going to be taking orders, and they will be ready in early November. We are so excited, and we're planning, obviously, volume discounts. If somebody wants to buy them for a charity fundraiser, yes, we're going to give you a discount. But they are just adorable, and we're so excited that we're going to finally have our YY stuffed animals. Now, on another note, I wanted to do a few shout-outs, one to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, one to the amazing, inimitable Casey Butler, who has been working herself silly at the school that we are working in New Jersey, one of the many that we have implemented our special program, which is a combination of the natural canine behavior rehabilitation, so people can become certified as handlers, and a dog handler, service dog handler team through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. And, of course, we have, you know, so many different aspects with the cancer detection and the real-time dogs. And we have so much going on. Please check on the website. And those of you who were former clients or future clients or current clients, you know, keep track of what we're doing because we do all kinds of free events. We have been very busy. We had events in Texas, Maryland, New Jersey, and I think Alaska, and we had a bunch of other events this past weekend. We'll have more. And for those of you listening, we will be in Jersey City, New Jersey at our normal spot. If you don't know where our normal spot is, you'll need to private message me or call the 855-4K9PROS, and I will check you out. Run a background check on you, and if all checks out, you will be coming to our amazing classes, our group training classes. It's just a blast. I can't tell you how much fun it is. Now, I also happen to be traveling quite a bit, and I will be in different areas of the country coming up pretty soon. We're buying some nice places, and we're looking for somebody who has some nice land or a little facility like a farmette kind of a thing, or it could be a larger farm, who's looking for, you know, a donation or to owner finance, but especially if you're interested in donating to Merlin's Kids. We are a 501c3. We've been around not for 1 or 2 years, but for many, many years. And we have been around, and 100% of the money that we make goes towards program services. Nobody gets paid, and as all my volunteers will attest, nobody gets paid. Because anything we took out of it would take away from a potential wonderful match between a child who needs a service dog and the dog. So unlike, you know, some people who are glory hounds, and I was just talking to a good friend about that today, we are just out there truly to help those we can help. Please stay tuned. We've got some great stuff. We'll be right back.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat meat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. As promised, we're going to go through some more summer health dilemmas. Standing water. You can get ehrlichiosis and giardia and all kinds of disgusting tick-borne and waterborne protozoal fungal disgusting things from standing water. If you don't have adequate filtration and you don't have fish or something in a big pond, keep your dogs away from it because it can have all kinds of bacterial things and protozoa and just microbes that can just give your dog some nasty diarrhea and potentially really endanger its life. So be really aware of that. For instance, today I was looking at the lawnmower that I haven't looked at in a very long time, and there was a little bit of water collected in it. And don't you know, one of my Wyatt daughters happened to be over there, and I see her ready to lap it up, and I, you know, quickly corrected her. She looked at me like, Ma, what's wrong? It's water. And I took it so she wouldn't drink it. And, you know, you got to really be careful because so many bacterial and protozoa and fungal and just disgusting little parasites are transmissible so easily. This is the problem. We talked about it earlier in the show about things like Ebola, because that's why they don't spread in the United States as quickly. They spread much quicker in the African countries because they use one source of water. So if the whole village goes to a little watering hole, then we'll be able to, have that spread very quickly, where in the United States, unless it got into a water system, the chances of it spreading quickly are probably far less. And we have a wonderful guest with us today, one that I think is, well, certainly my favorite, and I just love her, and she is working very hard as a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist and in vet school at Cornell University, which, of course, is the number one vet school in the country, so she's a smart cookie. Jody Joseph, the future Dr. Jody Joseph. How are you today, Jody?
I'm great, Janice. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we love to have you on. You're definitely one of our favorite guests. You're my favorite guest, but one of everybody's favorite guests because we always learn such cool things from you. And, you know, obviously we're talking about things that can happen in the summer with your pet. What do you think, Jody, are the biggest things that people make mistakes with when they think about their pet's medical care as far as kind of forgetting to do things? For instance, you know, somebody forgets to give their dog clean water. Why can that be such a big problem, and what kind of things happen in the summer that we really have to be careful of?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that happens in the summer is that people go away and they travel and vacation, or, you know, it's time to go to the shore or have a weekend or a week or a month away from their pets. And sometimes you put them with a pet sitter or take them to the groomers or or doggy daycare facilities, and sometimes they can pick up diseases from other dogs. Bordetella, which is a vaccine you could get against kennel cough, is something that would be really good if you're having your dog in group settings. You know, sometimes a dog might pick up fleas or other problems from other dogs, and So it's important to have your dog protected because you don't know if the other dogs are protected.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I've learned that from dog shows, although most of the people at, you know, who have show dogs and spend, you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars with their dogs, I find that most of those people are pretty careful. But, you know, every once in a while, we get some really tough strain of kennel cough, you know, the Bordetello. And it seems like it runs, Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it runs kind of like the human flu and influenza, because it seems like even though some most dogs are vaccinated against it, it still can have an outbreak. Is that right? Can that still happen even if you're vaccinated?
Yeah, so any vaccine you give, there's not any 100% guarantee for anything. So, you know, even something like Lyme vaccine is like, I think there's a statistic, correct me if I'm wrong, about 65% effective depending on the strain. So vaccine is definitely a good preventative step, but it's not a guarantee. So if you do see signs of your dog having a disease that you know they're vaccinated against, it's possible they might still have that disease. And so just be extra vigilant, you know, even in the summer with heat issues and, you know, making sure your dog has access to cold water, more than enough cold water so they don't develop excessive heat. You know, it's just being extra careful, because I feel like in the summer, that's even when we as humans start to have other sicknesses that we wouldn't normally get during the more cooler months. So
yeah, I think that's really good advice, Jody. And you know, that's true when you go to, you know, doggy daycare or even dog parks. Everybody who knows me knows I'm not a fan of dog parks, even though my dogs have been attacked at dog parks, and we have certainly seen a number of dogs attacked at dog parks. That's not even it. Even if you have a great group, you still, most of these places have sand or little pebbles or things like that. And if you don't have some good, heavy, soaking rains, you know, just think about it. The dog's peeing, pooping there, and you're walking around, your dog's walking around on this stuff, and then coming in and stepping on your carpet where your babies are walking or crawling. You know, there are other things that you can do, certainly, in order to, you know, get your dogs out there and let them have fun. But if you have that much time that you're going to go away, you know, Wyatt's List, which is our amazing, amazing new venture, although it's been about 4.5 years in the making, we have a list of pet-friendly hotels, dog places, restaurants, all kinds of things, you know, like guest houses, bed and breakfasts, that are pet-friendly. And it's also a referral system for people who are in an area. Let's say you are vacationing, like you mentioned, Jody. How about if you're vacationing and you're, you know, 8 hours away and you've got your dog who's got an issue? Well, what are you going to do? Go look online? You're going to go, okay, yeah, well, that guy, Well, how do you know? Well, if you contact us at Wyatt's List, 855, hi, Wyatt, and we will walk you through the steps to get your dog there, whether it's an emergency or if you need to know who's got the highest rankings. And we are also accepting submissions for Wyatt's List for top vets, professional pet services, and a daycare and vacation spots and all that. But, you know, there are some great dog-friendly, super dog-friendly cities, Boulder, Colorado being one of them, Rochester, New York. There are places all over in many states, and you can find out all these different locations. You know, actually up Niagara Falls and Lewiston area, they have phenomenal, phenomenal facilities up there where you can enjoy your dog, and that's great. I think that's wonderful. But remembering that most diseases don't transmit from human to dog or vice versa, so if you're taking your dog where there are a lot of other dogs, make sure he's properly vaccinated or has his titers, and definitely make sure that your dog, I never let my dog share water with another dog. If I have water and somebody uses it, I treat it like it's my own water, that I wouldn't let somebody else drink my water. So you might want to think about that, because a lot of things are transmissible. Upper respiratory things can even be transmissible if two dogs are drinking together at a fountain and one snorts or sneezes. Now your dog's got that in his nose. So you got to be a little more careful. We're going to be back in a moment, and we're going to continue on with Jody because she was a vet tech for many years and now in vet school and just doing beautiful work up there. Very proud of her. So stay tuned. You're going to have some more wonderful information from the incredible future Dr. Jody Joseph and myself, Janice Wolf, in just a moment. Stay tuned.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We are having fun talking with the future Dr. Jody Joseph of Cornell Veterinary Medicine School up in Cornell in Ithaca, which is now not Haas, but it's Haught, New York. So, Jody, welcome back. I know we always love having you here, and thanks for coming back on another segment. We're going to probably try to steal you for the whole show. We love you so much. We were talking a little bit about different summer hazards that not that I am ever going to have to worry about my Rhodesian Ridgeback ever jumping into water. It's the death march when you have to give them a bath before a dog show, so they don't really like it. But, Jody, what kind of things should people know before they let their dogs jump into a pond that they don't know what's at the bottom of, or, you know, We don't think of it because, obviously, with my dogs aren't going to ever do that, but I know a lot of people who have Labs and Goldens and some of the setters and pointers, and they just love to just dive in. I heard a very troubling thing recently, and you and I just spoke about this a bit, and, you know, people don't understand. If you can't see the bottom, you don't know what's underneath that water. You could have a tree that's just barely below the surface. And a very good friend of mine, Lisa, with Aiden and Zuri, Lisa's dog was running in their yard that they'd been in for about a year, and he jumped into just a little area that had some reeds and grasses, and he landed in a, I can't remember what they call them, but it's those metal posts that they use in construction that looks like a gigantic tomato stake. It's very, very strong. Kind of like a major nail, and it's squared off. Well, the dog jumped into it and literally ripped his guts open. Somehow, this dog actually made it. But thank God he did. But, Jody, what should people watch out for and, you know, with water and things like that?
Well, of course, there's those hazards of sharp rocks and, you know, stakes that can go through your guts. But some more common issues you find is people whose dogs love to go swimming in the pool. the chlorine chemicals aren't good sometimes for the dog's skin. And if they're licking their paws and they're licking, you know, licking themselves after a swim, they're probably going to ingest those chemicals. But also something most people don't think about is ear infections. A lot of these dogs with floppy ears, you know, they get swimming, they dunk under, and they get water and moisture in the ears, which is great. Bacteria love and yeast love water and moisture. So keeping hypervigilant about the dog's ears, if you see them shaking their head or scratching or rubbing their ear on a surface, you know, get it checked out. You can also, Janice actually taught me this, a trick of using yogurt, preferably organic, plain yogurt as a probiotic, which helps kill some of the yeast and the bad bacteria and restore the good bacteria. And you can use that kind of as a preventative measure for ear problems. So swimming can be a fun activity, but, you know, you also don't know if there's other material in the water, such as different pathogens. There's something called leptospirosis, which is typically found in stagnant water and usually caused by fecal material from wildlife. And so there is a vaccine against it, but it really depends on your geographical region if you find that your dog is an appropriate candidate for a leptospirosis vaccine or not. That's just a couple of things with water. What else are you thinking, Janice?
Well, I'm thinking of different waterborne things that when, like I was talking about earlier, people don't realize if they say, oh, my dog doesn't drink it, but he's licking his legs or his paws to dry himself, and whatever he was just swimming in has that in it. Also, when people go to the shore, you know, especially Jersey, we go down the shore. There is no preposition in there. Just you go down the shore. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of dogs, when we go down there, are out in the salt water, which can be very drying, and the sand can get in their eyes. The sand, I've seen dogs get it up in the sheath, you know, the male dogs getting it in their sheath and the females getting it in other private parts. And, you know, you have a little, you know, situation where the dog starts having difficulty urinating or gets an infection or all kinds of things like that. So we definitely want to just be aware. I mean, have fun. Absolutely. Have a lot of fun with your dog. That's what we want you to do. But, you know, the main part of that is just to make sure that, you know, you're being safe and you're being smart when you're doing all these things. So, Jody, what other kind of things did you, you know, typically see at the, you know, your clinics that you've worked at through the years, like in the summer kind of things?
Well, dogs are out a lot more. Sometimes, and, you know, you leave your dog out in the yard and obviously with ample water and shelter and shade if needed. So you do see dogs who like to get into each other's yards for either fighting or breeding purposes. So if your dog is not spayed or neutered, keep it away from other dogs that aren't spayed or neutered if you don't want to have any oops litters. I guess that's a delicate way of saying it. But also, if there are dogs who are not as dog-friendly as your dog, they might try to get into your yard and have a little scuffle. So, you know, don't leave your dog outside unsupervised. Even for 15 minutes, you just don't know what can crawl in or out. So I think that's another issue just to be aware of in the summer.
Yeah, all year round. Jody, you're right. And the other part of that is we actually have our next-door neighbors who are, well, they're not dog lovers, but last week, their cat got out, and I think I mentioned on my Tuesday show, their cat got out, and they couldn't find the cat, and my Ridgebacks, two of them went, one about 15 feet from the other, and then the third one about 10 to 15 feet from the fence, so they were in an actual equilateral triangle, and this, well, dopey cat, I mean, it could have run away three different directions, but it stayed near the fence, but the family never would have found this cat in a million years because it was a dark cat and, you know, it was under all the vegetation. So, and it was an indoor cat. Now, that's something that I think is a concern, even though we are for the love of dog. We're really for the love of all animals. And I think, you know, that when you declaw cats and they get outside, they have no way of protecting themselves. And, you know, I think that's something that's very important, you know, keeping toenails short is better to me anyway than, you know, removing their only source of protection if the animal should happen to get out. But talking about cats that are outside or skunks, because we just had a skunk who's living under my neighbor's million-dollar house here, and the skunk comes over within probably about 15 feet of our property line, but it's never come into my yard. It must be a pretty smart skunk, because it'd have to be crazy to, you know, try to have a tussle with all the ridgebacks. And my guys have never gotten skunked in all the years, so I think they're pretty darn smart. But what do you do if your dog has a very, very high prey drive, and now he's trying to, you know, kill whatever it is, or you know, be a little bit, you know, rough, like Jody was saying. And let's say a skunk winds up in your house or in your yard, and it doesn't matter that your dog has vaccination for rabies or for skunks, or for whatever the animal is. It matters, because there are things like porcupines and opossums. They can bite your dog, scratch your dog. They can cause things like tetanus. They can cause all kinds of bacterial infections. Matter of fact, cat mouths are dirtier than even the dirtiest teenager mouth. So you've really got to be aware that, you know, when you are working with, you know, any kind of dog, you want to make sure that you don't have a dog who's going to be, like, you know, chasing things that are going to bite them. And especially a dog who has a longer coat, a longer fur, you know, like a golden or something, you might not notice that it even got bitten. And so, you know, it, like Jody said, make sure you keep your animals attended at all times, just so that they stay safe. We will be right back. Do not go away. We'll return in a moment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking dog, and we're talking summer issues with dogs. Not just the obvious don't toast your dog in the car while you're going in and getting your nails done, or you're going in to work at Walmart and leaving your two-year-old in your car because you forgot you had him, but really some other things that are really important about things that people do with their landscaping and their yard and different things that could create problems that you don't think of. Even in the home, like in the, sometimes in the springtime, or, you know, when you're getting into fall, when all the ants come in, and, you know, a lot of people get have ant problems, people put ant traps down, or they put poisons down in their house, or they spray cleaners on the floor that can be toxic to dogs. Well, Jody's going to share some things with us of things we should be careful of outside our house, not only inside our house. Thanks, Jody. Tell us about the stories that you were relaying to me, because I think that's really, really, I mean, it's horrible, but I think it's something that people can learn from.
So back in high school, a good mentor of mine had two beautiful dogs, and in her house, well, I guess on her porch, they had sprayed some bee killer. They had a bee nest, and unfortunately, the dogs were running around, and one of them had gotten some of the bee killer in his lungs, and the dog had kind of had to go to the emergency room and was hospitalized for several weeks, waxing and waning in health. And then they had ultimately decided a couple of weeks later that euthanasia was the most humane option in that particular case. And so really what that taught me was not only like being very mindful of what you're spraying or what you're doing to control pests, but also like, where is your dog when you're doing that? You know, even something as little as setting a mouse trap that you think is going to be, you know, a great idea to get rid of the mouse problem. And then your cat says, ooh, peanut butter, let me tap it. And then the cat, you know, breaks his arm, you know. Make sure that whenever you do these different pesticides, that try to make them pet safe. They do have some products on the market that are safe for dogs and cats. Or if it's something that you can do out of reach for your dog or cat. So, you know, if you're setting the mouse traps, make sure they're high enough where they're not on the ground where the dogs could get to them. Or if you're spraying something, maybe you spray a certain area and give it a few weeks before allowing your dogs to enter that area. So just being really, really careful. There are natural pesticides available, organic pesticides, things that are a little more safer than some of the chemicals. And they might be a little bit more pricey, but you can't put a price on your pet's health. So I think it's really important to just be aware that, you know, some of the commercial products that might stop your bug problem or solve your mouse problem might cause a bigger problem. Again, just make sure that everything is out of reach for your pet and they're not easily accessing those toxins and chemicals.
And Jody, that's a really great thing. But the problem that I find is that my neighbors who don't have children or pets are spraying things that are, I mean, I can go out there and I can smell this stuff. And it's really frustrating because I think a lot of people do not even understand that, you know, the stuff, it gets into the water system. It gets into, you know, your lungs. It gets into your dog's food. It gets into all different kinds of things. So, you know, it's a really important thing, you know, to understand that it's what you're putting down is not only, you know, important for you, but, you know, also important for whatever animals you're going to have, you know. So we just have to be smart, I think, and make sure that, you know, everything that is, you know, that can be done is done. And try to educate your neighbors around you, you know, for a couple of houses around. Say, hey, you know, that those chemicals aren't really good for anybody. They're certainly not good for me or my dog, and they're certainly not good for you or your, you know, your wife. So we need to really, you know, make sure that you guys are going to be able to put something safe down. And another thing is you got to be careful when things say, you know, that you've got to, you know, put things down to, I mean, I'd rather have weeds. They're still green, but I'd rather have weeds than have to worry about, you know, emphysema and all kinds of lung issues for myself and my pets. I don't know. That's just me. So Jody, what are some of the things that dogs can be allergic to, you know, bug bite or things wise? That might happen more in the summer when there are more insects.
Well, there's actually dog allergies are very complicated. So sometimes it could be, you know, some believe that it could be food related. It could be environment. It could be maybe they're allergic to the neighbor's cat. But things we might not think about, the mulch or the fertilizer that we're putting down that we're not even thinking is a quote unquote pesticide or weed killer or anything. So even those commonplace landscaping items could also potentially serve as a hazard to the dog. And then when you put it down and the dog is walking along the sidewalk and they step in the mulch or they step in the fertilizer and then they start licking their paws and then they're licking and licking and licking and then you see redness and you feel heat and you're like, uh-oh, what did my dog get into now? They could be even allergic to grass. I've seen some dogs with grass allergies that – just like people, pollen and you know, I want to say almost any allergen that a human can have, an animal could potentially have as well, but I'm not sure about that.
Most of them, yeah, absolutely. Most of them, yes. One of them that's an interesting one you don't have to worry about the dog getting, but you kind of still have to worry about is poison ivy. Poison ivy, dogs do not get sensitivities to poison ivy typically, but if your dog, a little Fido, starts rolling around in poison ivy or runs through the field, especially in the early spring and mid-spring when this stuff is red and ready to go, unfortunately, if they lay in your bed or if they're snuggling you on your lap, now they've exposed you to the oils of the poison ivy. So, you know, you definitely got to be a little bit aware because, yes, you can definitely get some nasty poison ivy. I mean, fortunately, I don't get it at all, but it's pretty nasty. I know I've seen some people who've gotten it. So, Jody, what do you think about giving dogs a little bit, you know, obviously non-show dogs, about giving them a little bit of a puppy cut so they can cool themselves in the summer? Are you for that, or you think the natural coat will help to keep them safe from the heat?
So I actually just had an interesting situation with that. I'm pet sitting for this beautiful 14-year-old mixed breed dog. She's a natural girl, you know, doesn't really need to go to the hair salon much and doesn't really wear makeup or get too dolled up. Doesn't not into the whole bows and, you know, bling, I guess. And her name is Layla. She's beautiful. We're best friends. We go hiking together. She hikes, you know, she could hike 10 miles to my 1 mile. But she has a very long fur coat. And so we did bring her to the groomers. We brought her to her spa day. We didn't pitch it as groomer. We pitched it as spa day, where she had a manicure, pedicure, ear massage, as well as a haircut. And when I saw her in the groomers, I actually didn't the spa day, I did not recognize her because her hair was that much shorter. And she was bouncing around like a little puppy. And I think she was very grateful that a lot of that extra heat that her body was retaining from the fur, from the very long, beautiful fur that she had. Unfortunately, it wasn't long enough to donate it to, you know, to make a wig for somebody else, but it was pretty long. And, you know, she was able to cool off a lot, and she's really grateful. They gave her a nice bath and got her hair nice and short. Even for those long-haired dogs, I think it's really important. I know for us, they look really cute when they're long. But in the summer, can you imagine wearing a heavy fur coat all summer and not being able to take it off? I mean,
that would be bad.
I couldn't. Some dogs have naturally short hair, and they don't need to ever go to a groomer's. They need a bath only when they roll around in mud or feces. But you know, dogs with long hair really need to be attended to if they'll let you do it, or if they'll let a professional do it. So I'm an advocate for grooming when it's appropriate. Layla's actually walking by me right now. She's modeling her beautiful hairstyle. So I'm definitely a big advocate. Keep them cool. Keep them comfortable. They look really cute with the haircut. Some groomers get really creative with, like, the mohawks and the line cuts. And if you want to do that, more power to you. But I'm a big fan of just keeping them comfortable.
Okay. Sounds good. We will be right back with some more wisdom from the future Dr. Jody Joseph in just a moment. Stay tuned.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Let the play. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking summer issues with dogs. And I'm not talking about you guys who are humans who think you're dogs. And I'm not thinking of dogs who are thinking they're humans. We're just talking about, in general, animals and dogs in specific and how to keep them safe through the summer. Now, one of the things everybody tends to do is think about things in generalities. And you tend to believe that, well, if you're in New Jersey, all dogs need this. If you're in Texas, all dogs need that. If you're in Missouri, all dogs need this. If you're in Alaska, all dogs need this. So the thing is that, you know, if we talk about leaving your dog outside in the heat, there are areas that it really doesn't get that crazy hot. So some things might not be as important, but the generality of it, the general idea, is just to make sure that you do the right thing by your dog. You keep your dog safe. You keep your dog healthy. You keep your dog doing the right things and going the right places, keeping the vaccinations up to date. And, you know, like Jody's talking about, being aware with pesticides and chemicals. Even a lot of people have those little weird little air fresheners that's kind of like a gel, or the silica gel that comes in sometimes in certain types of snack foods. A lot of the Asian treats that have, you know, the foundation of it is typically rice. They use these little silica desiccants. If you buy a new, you know, bag, like an overnight bag, a purse, a satchel, in order to keep all the moisture out, they have that silica gel in there. Well, that will actually attract, like, something like, I don't know, a couple of hundred times its own size in water. And if a dog would happen to eat that, that can swell up and cause them to be very ill. Plus, you have an unnatural chemical into the dog's body. Now, when you're traveling, I think it's best to use either spring water or filtered water, because you never know, especially if you're going somewhere. It's like when you go to Mexico, where Luis lives. Some of the areas there do not have the best water. And if you go and you bring your dog and you're drinking, you know, your bottled Perrier or Pellegrino, but your dog is drinking whatever water is coming out of the local tap, you don't know what kind of stuff is in that water. And I believe it's incumbent upon you. I mean, that means I think it's your responsibility to be able to know to give that dog healthy, clean water that hasn't been exposed to extreme temperatures. It's not like you have it open in your car, you drank some, and a month later you give it, because it can grow a lot of bacteria in that short time. So, Jody, what do you think as far as ear infections and ear mites and things, what do you see in the summer that you don't see as often in the winter, like regarding the ears specifically?
Well, just I think kind of what we talked about before with swimming is just people see more ear infections because the dogs are exposing them to situations where they'll get an infection. So in the winter, dogs are usually in the house and they're not really causing too much of a ruckus, whereas in the summer they're diving into a pool, a pond, a lake. So you see, you know, yeast infections, you might see ear mites, you might see even just more wax buildup. So just kind of just paying attention, listen to your dog, look for itching, scratching, shaking, rubbing. And a lot of dogs with ears especially, they're pretty good at letting you know when something's bothering them. They're not going to hide it because, you know, they're pretty itchy. So you might also see a hematoma, which is kind of like a blood blister. And that might be caused from excessive shaking and moving the ear around. So, you know, look out for that. You'll feel a swelling and kind of like a liquid within the ear flap itself. You might see lots of ticks. Ticks like to congregate around ears. As well as fleas. So being hypervigilant about fleas and ticks, especially with the flea tick prevention. And also, like, if you do find that your dog does have fleas, you may not only have to give them a flea bath, but you might also have to flea bomb your whole house if you feel that there's fleas in the house and not just localized to your dog. If other animals in the house are itchy, if your kid's itchy or a sibling is itchy, you know, check for fleas all over. So there are lots of products on the market that'll help you, powders and sprays and whatnot to help kill fleas within the house, not just within the dog.
Awesome. So, and you know, one of the best things on the planet, and it's very, very inexpensive. There are two different types. There's a medical grade that you can actually ingest, or your dog can ingest. The other thing is for your yard. There is definitely, it's called diatomaceous earth, diatomaceous. Diatomaceous earth is microscopic, it's almost like talcum powder, little tiny, little itty-bitty single-cell organisms that would be wonderful. That's what a lot of flea and tick powders are made primarily of. And what's great about the diatomaceous earth, instead of or in lieu of actually spraying your whole yard with crud and poison, you can use the diatomaceous earth in just a regular spreader like you'd put in a fertilizer spreader that you buy for, you know, 10, 15 bucks, whatever. And you put this in there, and it is totally fine. It can get in your eyes. It can get in your lungs. You can eat it if you are planning to eat it or use it or ingest it in some way or give it to your dog systemically by mouth. You're definitely going to want to get the medical grade or the health, you know, like at a health food store. But for what you're going to be using it for outside, it will actually implode fleas and ticks. So we used to use that at one of my farms that I used to have. And we would use that pretty regularly. Anytime there was, you know, heavy rain, we would have to redo it the day after. But it was great because I really didn't have ticks or fleas or anything. And it was a 20-acre farm. You would think that, you know, you'd have all kinds of stuff. And we never really had any because, actually, I don't think I ever had one because of the diatomaceous earth. So the stuff is really, really awesome, and it's definitely one of those things that is a preventative, very inexpensive. I mean, I think it was like maybe $20 for like a 40-pound bag of this stuff. It's pretty cheap. The ones you buy at the supermarket or a drugstore, you know, that's a different grade, and, you know, obviously it's like food grade. But that's what they use when you get, like, people get parasites. A lot of times they use these diatomaceous earth, either capsules or just, you know, putting it in a milkshake or whatever. It will actually implode bacteria and protozoa and things like that that might be eating it, and it goes through this system, and it just sucks all the water out of them, and they die. And it's all natural, and that's, like I said, in a lot of flea and tick powders. So we have a lot of things. Now, there is one thing I did want to add today. We have an awesome, awesome dog. It's actually a client of mine, and he lives in a second-floor apartment. And his dog, who is awesome, name is Panda. He's a beautiful dog. He looks like a bull boxer or like a Dogo Argentino, but sweet, sweet dog, really nice dog. And they are so devastated because he's starting to slow down a little because he's living on a second floor. He really needs to find someone who's got just a nice little yard. He doesn't need a lot of exercise, although he can certainly go a pretty good distance. But he can't go down the stairs anymore. And he's about 110 pounds, so it's really not safe for him and his owner. And his name is Panda. He is beautiful. He's just a really great guy kind of dog, and they are looking for a home. He is, I believe, 10 or 11 years old. He's probably got a few real good years in it, and it's just sad because his owner is just devastated, but they just can't change their living situation, and he does not want to have to put this dog to sleep because he can't make it up and down the stairs. Would be totally fine anywhere where he was able to just go right out. You know, he can go up and down a couple of steps, but not, you know, they have like 15 steps, and that's just too much for him. So if anybody's looking to help out a wonderful, wonderful senior dog, you know, the whole history on him, and he's just beautiful, please let us know. You can call us at 855-4-CANINE-PROS or 855-HI-WYATT and say, hey, we're interested in Panda. And thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show again, as things go so quickly. We thank Dr. Jody Joseph, and we thank all of you for being here. Have a wonderful, safe, happy, healthy week. Enjoy.